Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa.
And today we're going to jump right into a passage of scripture that talks about a sword. But before we get there, the sword only makes sense once we understand the war. And Paul makes sure that we feel the weight of it right at the top of Ephesians 6. He writes, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
Cosmic powers and spiritual forces and, heavenly places like lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It can sound like a fantasy novel, like Lord of the Rings, these kinds of things. But the thing is, Paul isn't writing fiction. He's writing to a real church and about the actual structure of reality. And the question worth asking is, why do those stories, the stories of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, whatever, like, why do they resonate with us so deeply? Right? Why do you think that is?
I think because we know that there is a battle and we can't really put our finger on it. And most of us are fighting the person, the circumstances, the craving. But Paul says there's a whole invisible layer underneath all of that, which most people never address. And the reason we miss it, it's because something happened in the garden.
Okay. Let's talk about what the fall, which I think is what you're referring to here, actually cost us. I think often we tend to reduce it to like guilt and shame, Adam and Eve sinned and we need Jesus and fig leaves and whatnot, right? All true. But something else actually happened that we don't talk about enough. When God breathed into Adam in Genesis 2, humanity was uniquely designed to live in two realms at once. The physical world that you can see and touch and the spiritual world where God dwells. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. The spiritual world wasn't actually mysterious to them. It was as natural as the ground under their feet.
Yeah, then comes Genesis 3. And notice the serpent didn't tempt Eve with pleasure first. What he tempts her with is sight. Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. The cruelest irony of all of history. The act that meant to open her eyes blinded them. The moment they ate, the Bible says their eyes were open. And they did see their own nakedness, their own, the physical, the creaturely beings that they were. The spiritual world went dark, and they hid from God.
So Paul spells out the damage of this in Ephesians 4, where he says that people walk in the futility of their minds, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. These are three things: futility, darkness, and alienation. And they're not just wrong conclusions. A broken faculty. And in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul goes further and he says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? And it's not that it's just not difficult. We're not able to.
Yeah, I think we have to go back to that Genesis. And I think what's interesting about it is that we think the statement that Satan is making is morally neutral. Like, oh, they can understand good and evil. And it's not, those two things aren't morally neutral because they already understood and were only meant to understand what is good. They were only meant to understand reality because the reality was is that they were in communion with God and because they spoke with God, because who is good other than God? And so there's this picture there that we think it's just neutral statement. But it's actually not a neutral statement because what actually Satan was deceiving Eve in that moment doing was telling her that you get to decide what is good and evil, which is very different than how we, I think about that statement.
Well, yeah, I think that when we hear that word understand, and maybe it's lost in translation, right? Like we hear the word understand and we're inclined to think, well, why wouldn't they want to know the difference between good and evil? Wouldn't that be like a good thing to know? But when you think about the word understanding, as it's used in the Bible as a form of like wisdom and discernment and judgment, then that leaves only one place for the judge, right? And so that's really interesting.
So their eyes become blind. And I think the tragedy of the fall is not that the spiritual world disappeared, but we lost the capacity to actually perceive it. We walk through a world charged with spiritual reality, warfare happening, the enemy operating really close, the kingdom of God pressing in, and most people are completely blind to all of it. They manage symptoms and never really reach the root of it.
Well, yeah, but I suppose that there's some good news there too, right? Yeah. This is where it gets a little bit practical. That's why Jesus came, not just to forgive sin, though he does that fully, but to give sight to the blind. I love those passages in Isaiah where it talks about Jesus giving the Messiah, giving sight to the blind. Every time Jesus opened blind eyes in the gospel, he was showing in physical form what he came to do spiritually. Paul prays actually in Ephesians 1 that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, eyes of the heart or spiritual perception made alive again through new birth.
Yeah, and so this new birth or being born again or saying yes to Jesus, however you want to say that, you don't see everything perfectly, but you can see imperfectly, partially growing what you were designed to see, that there's the battle, there's an enemy, the glory of Christ and what he's done for us. And that sight is what makes everything else in the Christian life possible. You cannot fight a battle you cannot see.
All right, so that's today's bottom line. You're not imagining it. The struggle is real. The war is real. But you've been fighting blind. The fall broke our spiritual perception, and new birth restores it. So tomorrow we'll talk about the weapon.
Yeah, thanks for being with us on Pearls and Swine.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.